This Athletic Strength and Power podcast is brought to you by the Ram Sled Company, makers of strength training and conditioning products for football and other athletic endeavors. Get the equipment used by professional and collegiate teams at www.theramsled.com. This is Ed Sicali with another Athletic Strength and Power podcast. Today we're in our Clifton studio, down the road from the University of Cincinnati. I'm with Coach Kim Wood. Kim, welcome to the podcast.
Eddie, it's great to be with you, baby. And we're in the ASAP studios in my kitchen.
Coach, we went outside and we saw you perform a few lifts today and some of the workout
snatches.
Stuff.
I did some snatches.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And some interesting equipment that you have out on some of your outside gyms here that you have.
Yeah. I have four or five outside gyms, and I like to train outside. I actually train outside during the winter. I like to train inside, too.
And then, of course,
I like to train.
Yeah, I know. And we saw you with your mask doing some.
Yeah, I have a high-altitude Bolivian oxygen debt mask the beast mode guy, and it's kind of a twist.
It's pretty cool. Anyway, welcome back to our podcast. You know, we're on the eve of the National Football League's, of course, NFL draft. I know just up the road in Columbus, Ohio, they've got a lot of guys. And
they got a lot of professional. They got a lot of pro prospects.
Yeah, they definitely
they
do.
Only, that's all they have up
there. for sure. If Alex Marvez was here, what would you add to the pre-draft?
The thing is this is a talent-rich area in football. Ohio is, certainly Columbus, Ohio, but you got all the other, you know, you got University of Cincinnati, Bowling Green. I mean, there's a lot of fellas that go from the college level into the pros in Ohio. And then, of course, just north of Ohio is Michigan, and the same thing goes there. This is the big time, Ed.
And when you were coaching back in the NFL, it was a little different, the war room.
It was different, but it was like now it's a much bigger thing. Certainly, we're dealing with a whole lot more money than it was then. The media coverage is not big, although it was like in the early 80s, the draft room, all of a sudden they would put in some TV monitors and pull in the ESPN. And that guy, Mel Kiper Jr., all I remember is looking at his hair and just laughing the whole time. And but he seems like he's a nice guy. And now they got the NFL Network and Fox, and they all have some really smart guys as experts. And I'm kind of kidding, but
right, because
and it's become a season in itself. And along with the combines, and some people like it. I never was that big into it because, again, the bottom line is that how do people play football? And especially now, there was so much money that when you put millions of dollars into somebody's pocket, they might change. They might become different people. Mm-hmm. And the draft is a crapshoot. It's it's reality. You remember the great ones, and you forget some of the guys that didn't pan out. And every team has guys that didn't pan out.
Tell you what, you had that quarterback out of the University of Cincinnati, of all places, and his name was Greg Cook, and he would have taken you guys to the Super Bowl.
Well, it was before I came to Cincinnati. In fact, he was actually the reason I came to Cincinnati. That Greg played in he played his first year, and it was when they were merging leagues, and the Bengals were in the NFL, but they played an AFL schedule that year in 1969, and he was rookie of the year. He only played in 8 games. He got hurt, and then they spent the next 5 or 6 years after that trying to bring him back. He had one of the early rotator cuffs injuries and with surgeries, and they didn't really know quite how to do it, and he was never able to come back. He did appear in a couple NFL games after that, and many people, Paul Brown, Bill Walsh, they said that he would have, if he had continued to play, especially at the level of when he did in 1969, that he would have been the greatest ever. And it was a sad story because he was a very nice fellow. He was a good friend of mine. He passed away 2 or 3 years ago. It was very sad. And he was kind of a lost soul in a way.
What was his draft pick, as far as round and everything? Do you remember?
He was first. He was the first pick for the Bengals, and it was the second year of the Bengals. They started in 1968, but he was one of these guys that was just extremely creative. It was funny because I heard Mike Brown say that, because there was a rumor that he could throw the ball 105 yards in the air. And I heard Mike on the radio said, well, he really couldn't do that. But I had an opportunity maybe 20 years ago to, I represented the Bengals. It was a Tuesday night. So I got to go to this banquet. Frito-Lay put on a banquet. And the guest speaker was Otto Graham. And I sat with Otto Graham for 4 hours straight. And Otto Graham, the 105 yards in the air for Greg Cook, came from Otto Graham's book. And when Otto, we used to be the coach of the All-Star game for the college All-Star team that would play the first exhibition game against the professional, the NFL champion. And I asked him, you know, could Greg really throw? I said, you said it in your book that he could throw the ball 105 yards. And I said, Otto, you were one of the greatest quarterbacks ever. Could he really do that? And he told me, in fact, he saw him throw it 105 yards in the air. And that's a heck of
that's
a
amazing
wing. Yeah, that's a pretty good wing. Yeah.
Yeah.
But at the end, Greg could not, his shoulder was bad, and he never quite reached that peak. And then the problem was is his shoulder was so painful that he could play, and he'd do great one day, but then he couldn't play for 3 or 4 days.
What about Munoz, Anthony Munoz? What was his draft, you know?
He was the number one. I think he was number two or number three in the overall draft, but he was certainly the Bengals' first pick. And he was
Hall
a
of Fame.
Wonderful. Yeah. He was probably the greatest of the linemen in the strength position of offensive line to ever play. And he was a wonderful man, but just an awesome athlete. You know, he was very big. Now there's people bigger, but he was 6'6", 6'7", about 285 pounds. He would run 10 miles a day, tremendously conditioned, but very smart, high technique player, and strong and smart.
He had it all.
And,
he had it all. Hey,
he had it all.
The
you
cool
know, he
thing.
Had more, he had more than all. He was the best there ever was at.
No doubt. The cool thing about the draft, though, Coach, is that you got these guys like Tom Brady. And, of course, your guy, Tim Crumry.
Yeah, Tim Crumry.
Who get drafted in the late rounds and then become, they
well,
blossom
they,
into
what
great
you
players.
Have is, like I say, the draft is a crapshoot. Every team has people that were drafted in the lower rounds, that, or some of them weren't drafted at all, and that for whatever reason, and that ended up being tremendous stars in the NFL. We had a situation with the Bengals that Crumry was, I think he was drafted 8th or 9th. He was down the line in, and they don't even have that many rounds anymore. And he was pitted against the guy, the center, Dave Remington from Nebraska, who was number one. And he caught everybody's eye because he personally had a vendetta against poor Remington. And we just beat the heck out of him in practice. And Forrest Gregg was the head coach. And he would reinstituted the Oklahoma drills just to see Crumry tear into this poor guy, Dave Remington, who was a very strong guy and a very great player, but he was no match for Crumry, who was just an awesome talent at the nose guard.
And a fellow Wisconsin Badger, too, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. Yeah, after I was there, but he was a tremendous athlete. And we're talking, Paul Brown used to say about Tim Crumry that he, which to get it from Paul Brown, it was an interesting thing that he said he was a man with a fierce heart. And that was one of the best things that he could say about a football player. But Tim was definitely a throwback and great, great player. One of the strongest players I've ever seen. And just, we're talking tough as a boot.
Coach, you went way back 30 years. You coached 30 years as a strength and conditioning coach.
Actually, more than that. I was before I was a full-time coach, I coached.
Yeah.
The Bengals starting in 72, yeah.
Mm-hmm. For the Cincinnati Bengals. And I'll tell you what, you know, you're still there. You're still...
I'm still alive,
still,
yeah.
Which I
think is a distinct advantage, Ed. Yeah.
You're still banging the drum. And I'll tell you what,
yeah,
you got your...
Too.
You
yeah.
have a clinic that's coming up again. And this is going to be your sixth year in a row having this clinic. Football strength clinic. It's coming up on June 24th, 2016.
Yeah, Mike Gilson, who was Shem Beckler's strength coach for over 30 years, and I put on a clinic with my family and his family. We bring in the top speakers It's a no-nonsense. It's an information clinic. We really spend a lot of time focusing on preventing head and neck injuries and concussions because we think that's a real priority for today's game.
Do you have to be a 30-year strength coach to be part of the speaker?
You're going to be a good speaker, and we feel we have the best speakers. We don't charge. We charge like $25. We don't pay the speakers anything. There's no continuing education. We want people that want to come for the pure information, the how to train people, how to deal with and prevent concussions, okay, how to really prepare young men to play a very violent game. And it's a no-holds-barred clinic. Many people, and not just my family members, have told me that, and not just my friends, have told me that that it's probably the best clinic out there, and we feel that it is.
And one of the big messages that you've put out in your clinic is this is all about the head and neck training, and I'll tell you what, the message has gotten out there because some of the places that ASAP, Athletic Strength and Power, have visited, places like West Virginia, places like Ohio State, Michigan State.
Well, you're talking about
we're
the best,
seeing,
you're
we're
talking
seeing
about the best
some,
places.
We're seeing some stuff going on that they're...
There's parts of the country that it's not happening, but you're talking about the best programs with the best strength coaches. And again, with the thing that has to be attended to, Ed, and I always felt that there was a vulnerability of the brain, and we always train the head and the neck. I did not realize that the brain was as vulnerable as it is. And if you're going to send kids out to knock heads, especially at the high school level and college level, even pro level, okay, you've got to prepare them correctly. And that's what our clinic is all about.
Yeah, when you see coaches designating large square footage areas of a whole training center to the neck area, to the head area, to training that, like I saw at Ohio State, like Michigan State has a huge area of just designated for that.
Six, 7 years ago, they had two neck machines, and it, like I say, in mass, the smart strength coaches, and there's a whole lot of strength coaches out there, but the smart ones, the guys like Ken Manny at Michigan State and Kevin Tolbert at Michigan and Mickey Marotti at Ohio State and the fellas at West Virginia, these guys are on the ball, and their first thing, and really it should be, anyone that's a coach, it's very similar to the motto that medical people have, and that is do no harm. And that is the great meaning of your strength program should be first protect your players so they will survive the game.
And the training that we've seen, some of these players, the way they're developing them now at these top programs, like we've spoken about, these players that they're cranking out are in superb physical.
Again, Eddie, we're talking about that there's professional football player. Well, how many people really play professional football? And how many people really play it for very long or very good at it? And the same thing with college. But the point is that football is America's game. Those of us who've been in it our whole life love the game. We feel that it is of value for anybody who plays. But anybody who plays is taking a physical risk, and we want to have programs, and that's what the strength program should be every place, and that is where you minimize the physical risk by preparing people correctly, and that's developing the structures of the shoulders, the neck, and actually the head to a maximum degree to dissipate the forces and protect the brain.
Well, Coach, I know you're compiling your speaker list. I know... We got some great feedback last year, you know, on our website, some of the people writing in some things, you know, especially when you had like Aaron Hillman speak.
He's coming again this year. My son John is going to do another tutorial on grip and hand strength. But we've got the West Virginia people are coming over, and we've got Doug Scott is coming from the Pingree School in New Jersey, who runs the absolute best high school program for all sports.
I'm going to be there, Coach. You know, there's
and
no
wait, you're coming too?
Yeah, I'm
oh,
coming
okay,
too.
Okay, you
so
and then Teddy
me.
Lambrinidis will be there, yeah. And it's Rocky Boyman, who's a huge radio star in Cincinnati and Europe. We want to create a clinic that has the delivers the information that you need, information that you can use, and we want to have an atmosphere there where you can interact with some of the top strength people in the world.
It's a Midwest, yeah.
You know, definitely. It's a big deal. We got 150, 200 people come from all over the world.
It's a pretty big deal, and then the
and
the
plus
next
there's
time...
free food and lots of beer and no, right. we make it so that it's a low stress, very relaxing, but high energy information clinic.
All right, Coach. Well,
June 24th and 25th. It's a Saturday. It's a Friday night, all day Saturday affair with plenty of food, plenty of fellowship, and. We roll up our sleeves and we brainstorm and right. We get the top people in strength training for athletes. We get together. We put our heads together. One thing, Ed, the shorts, you're wearing the shorts. My Shih Tzu dogs have been eyeballing your legs and you can't wear the shorts here again. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
they got sharp claws.
They're
trained to be
canvas.
Killers. They're only 15 pounds, but they're lethal. And they love me. And that's they're after your
dogs.
Legs, Ed. They're after your legs.
All right. Well, Coach Kim Wood, we look forward to hearing more. We're gonna touch base again in a couple of weeks and really refine and talk about the speakers that are coming this year, and of course talk more about training, and then we'll be able to reevaluate what happened in that NFL draft, because
it's going to be a winner. It's going to be on TV. It's big time.
Coach Kim Wood from Cincinnati, Ohio. We're gonna sign off at this point, and we'll catch you next time. Thanks, Coach.
Thank you, sir.